Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to One Christian Speak Talk Radio with Reverend Ray.
Join us this evening, but we shall see. I mentioned on a earlier broadcast that Reverend Ray was currently in the hospital and dealing with a health challenge, but praise God, he still has the praises of his Lord on his mouth, and he said if it was possible, he would join me on the broadcast tonight. And prayerfully, we shall see how it goes. So thank you again. This is Friday Night Joy. We are going to lift up the name of our Lord in salvation, of our salvation. We're going to praise him. We're going to speak of the goodness of the Lord and all that we have in him. You are listening to Friday Night Joy on blogtalkradio.com, When Christians Speak. If you're joining us on the website, please log in. Feel free to log in on our chat room. And if you want to make any comments, you want to praise the Lord, give a testimony in our chat room, we would love to hear that. Call us on 888-488-6772. And that's the wonderful thing, is that you don't have to be at a computer to listen to this broadcast. You can also listen to it on the phone by calling that number, 888-488-6772. Also, our broadcasts are available. Previous broadcasts are available on iTunes, Blueberry.com, and Zoom. And, of course, you can go back to the website, Blog Talk Radio, and listen to an earlier show. Or you can download a podcast, as I said, from iTunes or Blueberry or Zoom. Also, I'd just like to hold up that I host Declaring the Finished Work, which is a noonday prayer hour every Thursday on the When Christians Speak broadcast. And every Thursday, we're just lifting up the finished work of Christ Jesus over our lives and declaring it and receiving it and appropriating all that the Lord has done for us in our lives. And we also share an exhortation, and we look at the Word of God and what the Word of God is speaking to us. Also, you can join us on Sundays for the Bread of Life, hosted by Reverend Ray, at 5 p.m. every Sunday. So praise the Lord. It is wonderful to be here this evening. I'm not certain where I'm going this evening. I have a lot of things that I've been reading and meditating on. And on Thursday, I was actually sharing on a scripture. Well, what happened was the Holy Spirit just brought up in my spirit, in Him we live and move and have our being. And when that came up, and I just started to meditate on it, and I wanted to search out exactly where that particular partial, because it's a partial verse, where it was located, and it was located in Acts 17. And so I went into Acts 17, and I really received more than I expected. Now, how many of you have ever gone to the Lord for an answer or to receive something, and He gave you more than you want, than you expected? And it's hallelujah. Reverend Ray is on the line. Hallelujah. Reverend Ray.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. I did you just get on? I just happened to look at the screen.
Yeah, I'm still in that place, but I just got on. Yes.
Okay. All right. So you are joining. Well, I was telling the listeners that there was a strong possibility of you joining us tonight, and I just shared a little bit about your challenges, because we all face challenges of some sort, and and there's only a few areas that we basically deal with challenges, and so it'll bounce back. Sometimes it's our health. Sometimes it's an emotional thing. Sometimes it's the loss of a loved one or a loved one going through some particular trial. But there's nothing new under the sun. And so we all go through those types of challenges. But the wonderful thing is that the moment we turn our eyes upon our Lord and Savior, it begins to change the atmosphere. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Is there anything you want to share at this particular moment?
Give me 1 second, please.
Okay.
So, like I said, I'm just glad, you know, for those that don't know, or maybe I've been out for a while, I guess a medical sabbatical is a good way to call it. I don't know. So whatever terminology you want to use, but you know, God is still good. Again, I want to thank those who are listening to the show for Sister Pat and filling in, and you know, it's a good teaching and everything, and hopefully and prayerfully I'll be back Sunday. But every time I say that, but we're gonna shoot for Sunday, so we'll go for that. You know, but thank you, Sister Pat. You have been a godsend, man. You know,
amen.
And everything. So, I'm just want to listen in. You know, you don't say I speak, but really just want to listen and just enjoy the word. And
so absolutely.
We talked a little bit yesterday, but I knew that you have much more. So, I want to hear some more, man.
Yes.
You know, go ahead.
Yes, I was just actually saying just before you came on how there are times when you go to the Lord seeking for something, or you know, going to Him because you need something, and so often He gives us more,
right,
more than what we actually went to Him for, and
right.
He's that kind of a God. And I was just sharing when I was some of the scriptures that I was sharing with you the other evening, that I went there looking for one thing, and I received much, much more than I expected, you know, because we have a very generous Father.
Right, right.
Yeah, he's generous. He's generous and he's loving, and we just have to continually reflect on how good he is.
Right.
Reflect on our testimonies, all that he's done, and not just our testimonies, the testimonies of other believers.
Yeah.
You know, it's encouraging and it lifts us up and it just reminds us of just how good God is.
Right, right. Yes. And just to know that he got us, you know.
Yeah.
And we're in his hands, you know.
We are in his hand. You know, when we are weak, it says when we are weak, he is strong. So we don't even have to be concerned about our weakness.
Right.
When we are weak, he is strong. He is everything that we need in every situation. He is the answer. Our Lord is the answer. I was actually listening to a brother, this minister, he doesn't have a church. He had a radio ministry, actually, and he still does. And he's had this ministry since the early 80s. He took it over from another guy, an elderly minister who was retiring. He was way up there in age, and this brother stepped in for him. And one of the things that I loved, and I was just listening to his teachings, is that one of his older ones, is that he always stays Christ conscious.
Right.
He's always focusing on Jesus. And it's been over 30-something years, I believe. Well, I'm not going to try and do math right now, but it's definitely over 30-something years, my brother, that this brother has been doing this radio ministry. And then, of course, now with the entry of the Internet and doing, it has opened up so many different ways of communicating. And so you can now go where we used to just turn in on a radio station and listen to it. Now you can go on the Internet and listen to any radio station. So you can also pick him up on the Internet. And I marvel at the fact that he has been able to stay that focused and not be distracted by all the subjects that we can get into within the scriptures. But he has been able to maintain Jesus Christ as the center of everything that he teaches. Somehow he is going to tie it back to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
His death, burial, his resurrection, and his ascension. Somehow he's going to tie it to some aspect of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. And the tape, because it's so old, I was actually listening to a tape, not a CD.
Right.
And he was saying that he chose not to, because he was getting a lot of invitations to go and minister to other churches.
Mm-hmm.
But he knew that if he became that busy, because when he does his broadcast, he basically lives outside of the city. He's always lived outside of the city. And he's like up in the mountains, and he does his broadcast from a cabin that he has that's up in the mountains. You know, so he's like right in the midst of nature and the animals and the whole thing, and it's a very peaceful place. But he was saying that he chose not to go that way because he knew that once he started doing all this traveling, it would diminish the amount of time that he would be able to stay in the presence of the Lord and meditate and just be in a quiet place.
Right.
And he opted. He opted like Mary opted. You know, Martha was busy, and Mary opted to sit at Jesus' feet, understanding how important that was. But, you know, this brother understood that that's what he was called to. And we have to understand whatever it is that God has called us to.
That's correct.
That we follow that calling. Because it's not about us, it's not about our name, it's only about the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
But we always go ahead.
And I think too often we want the bigger thing, you know. And we don't appreciate the smaller things, because we say the smaller things don't really amount to nothing. But I mean, one of the things that we had talked about earlier, that if one person's life is changed by the ministry that you're doing, then you know you're doing great. You know, because that one person might have an impact on 1,000, and that 1,000 might have an impact on 10,000. So, I mean, you really don't know. I guess what it really boils down to just being obedient.
Obedient,
to the will of God, and just following the footsteps that he's laid out for you, because I can't walk in your footsteps.
That's
that
right.
God is designed for you, you know. And I can't walk in pastors, and you're the one that can walk in mine, you know.
Amen.
All of us come from different backgrounds and stuff like that, or different areas that God has ordained for us and purpose. So we have to keep that in mind and be obedient to those things, you know, matter what, you know. And sometimes
no matter what.
And sometimes the road gets a little cloudy. It's just a little cloudy, you know. And God said, okay, it's time for you to get your attention here.
Let me retune you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Amen. But, you know, the scripture says that all of heaven is rejoicing when one comes to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
So that only goes to show you you know, how God thinks, you know, and you know, Jesus says, you know, the shepherd will leave the 99 and go get that one that was lost.
Go get that one. That's what he said. You know, go get that one.
Yes. So we need not be distracted by culture, because especially in this country, in our culture, you know, everybody wants to have the big ministry. Everybody wants to be on television, you know, and you have to be careful. Is God calling you to be on TV? Now, if he's leading and directing you to be on television, fine, then be on television. But don't do it yourself. You don't decide.
Right.
Because your true fulfillment is in following what God has called you to, because that's the purpose that's on the inside of you.
Right. And the other part of that is to realize that I think what takes place in a lot of ministries, that as they do get bigger, they forget their foundation of what they started, or how God started them out. Mm-hmm. And to stick to that foundation, and there's very few that do that, you know, because you get successful in this the church and everything like that, in ministry, and it grows and then grows, and then you got books and and I'm not knocking into that kind of stuff, okay?
Right.
Because God, you know, but the thing is that you don't want to, you know, you want to remain the same, you know, you want the foundation of the ministry to be sound to the point that you know, you don't need a lot of assets, accessible stuff, you know, just to be, so just so you can say, hey, I'm successful in ministry, you know, and everything.
Amen.
You know, so that's the other part of it, too.
Amen, you know, amen.
Just to remain, I guess the word is just to remain a sense of humility, you know. And,
that is just key.
A focus, you know, and stuff like that, you know. And that's my prayer. That has always been my prayer. No matter what I'm doing, as far as ministry, God don't, you know, because let's be transparent, pride comes easily,
you know.
Oh, it does. It does.
Crack up easily, man. You got some people tell, oh, you did this and you're doing this and, you know, and, you know, and that's why you see a lot of Christians, they point their hand finger back up to the sky and say, nope, I don't want it. Give God all the praise, all the glory goes to God, you know. And we have to remind ourselves to do that all the time, you know. Because otherwise, we'll be like, yeah, constantly. So we will, you know, begin to think, well, okay, I've arrived. Yeah, and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. That's our tendency, and so we just have to be aware, and that's why it's very crucial to keep our eyes focused on our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, because in Him it's a place of safety even from ourselves. He protects us from ourselves. Could you imagine, Reverend Ray, if he left us up to ourselves? Let me read. I was in Ephesians 2 today.
Okay.
And because, you know, I was thinking about the joy of salvation.
Right.
We should never lose the joy of salvation, the wonder, and the mystery of it all, you know, because we don't fully comprehend everything that took place at that cross. We don't fully, and little by little we began to see more and more, but so much happened. And actually in the scripture that I'm about to read, it says that, but in Ephesians 2, which is a popular place, because it talks about by grace you are saved in this Ephesians 2 chapter. But I'm going to start in verse 1. And we'll talk a little bit about each verse, you know, depending on how the Lord, whatever the Lord is doing. And it says in verse 1, and you have he quickened, and that means brought to life, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience.
Right.
That's a good reminder to us, because that's what we were doing. We were walking according to this world, whatever, just like zombies, march into a tune, whatever the melody, the world was playing, we were dancing.
Well, in the Old Testament, it says that, I don't know what, it says in several books, that every man did what was right in their own sight.
You know, right. Amen.
Every man did what was right in their own sight. So, And the thing with that is that we want to do what's right in God's sight, you know.
Yes.
We want to be pleasing to Him, you know. And with the hope of us being filled with the Holy Spirit, it's not, I don't want to call it obligation, but it's a commandment to follow more after Him than follow ourselves. But that spiritual warfare that we always talk about that takes place between the spirit and between the flesh, you know.
And praise God that He has hidden His commandments in our hearts. I mean, He has actually made a way where there was no way for us.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, really, when you think about the fact that He has said to us, well, the prophetic word coming out of out of the Old Testament, I believe it's Ezekiel, where he talks about washing us with clean water. In that day, he would wash us with clean water and purify us of all filthiness and all idols, that he would replace our hearts with a heart of flesh, that he would hide his commandments and his statutes in us and cause us to... He would cause us to walk in. We can't even do it on our own. If it was not for the Lord Jesus Christ, we would not be able to walk in nothing.
Right.
not in the things of God. Now, we could walk in the world because that's what we could do, that.
Right.
But in the things of God, we need God in order to walk in the things of God.
Right.
So if you think that you can do it on your own, you're fooling yourself.
You need
Jesus. You need Jesus to do this.
That's what Peter says when Jesus was talking about eating my flesh and drinking my blood, and some of the disciples loved it. Jesus asked 12, "Well, where, you know, when you go?" Peter was like, "Well, where we gonna go? You know, you have the word of life or the bread of life, man. Where can we go? You know, and to realize that God, I can't do this."
Yes.
I can't do this without you. I can't function. I can't breathe without you. I can't walk without you. You know, I can't talk without you.
None of this.
Above can happen, please. You know, and it's just as I think I'm in whatever job or whatever ministry, I can't even be that without you. Without it.
Exactly.
That covers everything, you know?
Everything. You know? Absolutely everything. Everything.
You know.
And the fact that Jesus did this for us, that's the joy.
That's the joy. Yeah.
He did all of that. He did all of that. Now, back to verse 3, it says, among whom also we all had our conversations in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. So whatever came up in our mind that we thought, like what you were saying, whatever seemed right in our own eyes, and were by nature the children of wrath.
Right, right.
Even
right.
as others.
Right.
Which basically means we were like anti-God.
Yeah. All right, and one wasn't different than the other. We was all walking in sin.
I wasn't greater than
you, and you weren't greater than me. You know,
all of us.
Thanks be to God for the grace of God.
Amen. You know? It says in verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy.
Yeah.
in mercy. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the distant shore. Deeply stained with sin within, sinking to rise no more.
Yeah.
But the master of the sea heard my, this was a discouraging or distressing cry, and from the waters he lifted me. Now, safe am I.
Sinking deep in sin. In other words, the way that we were, and then I said the way that we were, we had no way out.
There was no way out, man.
The blood, the bulls, and the lambs didn't do it. It couldn't do it.
No. There was only one way.
There was only one way.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says, for his great love wherewith he loved us.
Yeah.
His great love wherewith he loved us. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. He came and got us.
He came and got us. He looked at us and saw the need and said, you know what? I'm coming to get you. And you don't feel like you need me, but I'm going to show you how much you need me. Yeah, I'm going to wrap you in love. I'm going to wrap myself around you. You know?
Yes.
I'm going to wrap myself around you to the point that you would see the difference between who you are and what you were, all because of the blood, all because of the cross, all because of the resurrection. You know, the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know,
hallelujah.
And we have to constantly remind ourselves of that, because that's what the enemy comes to do. He comes to kill and destroy. You know, steal and destroy. You know,
take
away those seeds of reminding ourselves who we are and whose we are, in Christ Jesus. See, that's his job. He's doing his piece.
That's right. Yeah. Right. And the whole thing, because once you lose your identity, you don't know who you are and who you belong to. You flounder. You go right back to floundering. You go right back to relying on your own mind. You go right back to listening to your flesh.
Right. You do.
Well, you know, just think about even early on in your walk. You know, when you first get started, you know, you're all excited. I mean, God has touched you in a way. You've never felt such great love. You're excited. You're ready to tell everybody about Jesus, right?
Yeah.
And then
you have that zeal.
You have the zeal. I mean, you're on fire, right? But then when the battle begins, the spiritual battle begins, and you start to see just what you're capable of and just how much you need Jesus. And so you flounder because in the beginning, you know, I think we all start off thinking that, oh, it's smooth sailing now. I got saved. I know the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm filled with the Spirit. You know what I mean? I'm starting to read his word. I'm going to church. You know, and so you kind of like, you know, you enter.
And I wonder where we get that from. That's not
scripture. It's not scriptural.
And I don't know where that mentality comes in. Okay, I'm saved now, so it's going to be smooth sailing, and everything going to go perfect for me, and you know, because that's not scripturally, based.
It's not.
We think that we're not supposed to have trials and tribulation, you know, or if they do come, we'll be like, well, I'm going to breeze through this, it's no big deal.
That's what you think. But and so you go through that period, and so you're floundering around, and then you start to feel like a failure.
Right.
Because you really still haven't surrendered, you know. Just surrendered your will. You're still trying. You know, there's still this part of you that wants to take part in this salvation process.
Right.
You know,
we try to control our own self and our own destiny.
In
our own way. We do what is right in our own mind. And that mentality has to change. Even as Christians, we still do that. God's way.
Even as scriptures. But I'm telling you, when you get through going through the fires, it will burn a lot of that stuff out, doesn't it?
Yeah, it will.
it will burn a lot of that stuff out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
the fires get real hot. And it's like sometimes you feel like, haven't I been in the fire long enough? Can you take me out a little bit? Let things cool down a bit here? You know? I mean, really.
You'd be like, okay, got it. Now what? You know, every time we tell me there's something going on, you know.
Exactly.
once you commit yourself to Christ, and I'm not talking about just getting a lip service, but I'm talking about a whole complete lifestyle change.
That's right.
You're going to have trials and tribulations. They're going to come, man.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Absolutely.
They're going to come.
If they
persecuted Jesus, if they hate me, they will hate you too. You know, the thing about we still don't realize about that, he wasn't just talking about people, but he was talking about more than just about governments or society. But he also was talking about the warfare, you know, the spiritual warfare.
Because the demons hate us too.
Yeah, you know, so they gonna hate you too. You want everybody to like you, please. Everybody's not gonna like you. You know, everybody's not gonna like you. You just need to be sure and founded in him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you do. We need, and I'm speaking to myself, especially now, because I'm like, okay, God, I don't need to be validated by no man. I need to be validated. My validation comes from you. That's basically what Jesus was saying. Look,
right.
My validation don't come from you. If it comes from you, then, you know, I can understand your point. But my validation came from my Father. So our validation comes from God, man.
Hallelujah.
And once you realize that point, you know, and stuff like, no matter what kind of storms or situation, even though we might fall down or fall down seven times, we know that our Jesus is there to pick us right back up or to remind us again of who we are and what we are about, and that we are His peculiar treasure. Mr. Vett, you know what I mean?
That's right.
And we need to be reminded of that.
And that's
one of the things I always tell people is that we need to surround ourselves with people with like-minded, you know?
That's right. Amen.
You know?
That is crucial. And to remind us of, even when we're going through, no matter how bad it can get here in this world, and it can get pretty bad.
Yeah.
But if you're in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, what we have in Him far outweighs any tribulation that we could possibly go through.
Right. What's that scripture? I reckon that the suffering of this present is I don't know.
Yeah, that's right. That's Paul. That's Paul's his scripture.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I believe he's in. That might be in Romans. I'm not certain.
Right.
But that's definitely Paul. But he reckons that these suffering, and that's what you, and that reckon means take account. It's like an accounting term. Like, you know, if I got $50 in the bank, I have $50 in the bank. So you have to take account. You have to just say, this is what this is. Like, I don't think it's strange anymore when I have to go through things.
Right.
You know, what I say is.
Go ahead.
What I say is. That's right.
Yeah.
So what I say is that I need to keep my eyes focused on Jesus. I need to read His Word. I need to meditate as I go through this. I have to make sure that in it that I'm keeping my eyes on Him, because if I keep looking at whatever that tribulation or whatever the affliction, whatever it is, if I keep looking at that, I'm going down.
Mm-hmm. It in so many words, it'll kill you.
It'll kill you.
It will take you right out of here.
And, you know, one of the things, I think I was talking to you yesterday when I was in Acts 17, and Paul at this particular point in the chapter, he was in Athens, and he was talking, because in Athens, Greece, it used to be like the hub of business and trade in Greece. And it was a very modern and very, upscale kind of thinking. And they had every idol you could possibly, any god that they knew about, they had some sort of altar there for them where people could come and worship their god. And so they were into, you know, whatever new ideas and new thinking and what's new and what's the most current thought and what's the most current philosophy. And so it was a very open kind of environment. And what I saw in reading that, I thought about, you know, the United States, because, you know, that's what, especially in our urban cities, you know, if you're in an urban city, but, you know, now in our country, because of media and the internet, I mean, stuff is everywhere. We have drugs even in the smallest town. They can have 600 people population, and somebody's running drugs up in there. You know what I mean? So.
Right.
That's the culture and the environment that we are in now in these days, these latter days, and so Christians, we have to be careful, because we're being bombarded with all kinds of ideas and thoughts, and we have to make sure that we are not giving ourselves exposure to some of this stuff, because it's against the word of God. And what will happen when you take in, you're taking in all this information, and, you know, if you spend too much time listening to the news and what's happening with the economy and the violence and the whole thing, I mean, it will start to, you know, instill a spirit of fear in you, and you'll have trouble in your mind, you know, trying to believe God, because you've been taking in so much of the other stuff. And so I just like to encourage believers to just pull away. I mean, the Lord, he prayed that we, even though that the Father, in that, I think it was John 17 when he was praying that prayer about, Father, I'm not praying that you take them out of the world, but that they would be in the world but not of the world, and that the Father would protect us and keep us from the temptations of this world. Mm-hmm. And so we're here, and I believe we're all here, believers. You know, we're here on assignment. We're traveling through, and we're here on assignment. And we have to keep that before us, and not get so bogged down with this world, because this world will bog you down with all manner of things. I'm going to get back to Ephesians 2. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, all right. Let me see, okay, this is after by grace ye are saved. So in verse 6 it says, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now that's amazing right there. He could have just stopped at just saving us, dying for our sins so that we no longer had to be under the curse, and no longer would be judged by our sin, right? But he did. He raised us up together with Jesus and sat us in heavenly places with him. I mean, think about that. He has sat us in heavenly places with us, the ones who were deeply stained in sin, sinking to rise no more. Not only did he wash us and cleanse us, give us a new heart, put his statutes and his commandments in our hearts, then he seats us in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. It's amazing. He loves us so much. He loves us so much. And in verse 7, it says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Now, that particular verse in the Amplified, it says, let me just pull that up. Let me just open that up in my, because the exceeding riches, it says, in the Amplified, it says, immeasurable, limitless, surpassing riches of his free grace. The Lord's grace for us is immeasurable. It can't even be measured. So if it cannot be measured, then we don't even have the full knowledge of everything that we have in grace. It's limitless. There's no limit on it. It's surpassing. It's beyond anything that we could even imagine. This is what the Lord has done for us. This is why we can have the joy of our salvation. Praise God. Praise God. I think we lost Reverend Ray, but he was with us a moment ago. Praise the Lord. He had joined us from his hospital room, and praise the Lord, and I'm just so grateful to have him joining me and just sharing in the word of God and just encouraging believers and just staying steadfast and unmovable in the Lord, knowing that there is nothing else but Him and Him alone, no matter what circumstance we're going through. Praise God. Praise God. So we can be joyful. We can be joyful when we sit and begin to meditate on all that we have. I'm going to move on down to verse 8. Verse 8 says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith." See, we are saved through believing. We believed in what the Lord Jesus Christ had done for us. And it says, "And not of yourselves." So even our believing is not of ourselves. He caused us, He drew us, and He led us into salvation. There was a power at work that opened our eyes to see the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we needed His help even in being saved. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. He allowed things to, in our lives, to, it looked as though that they were going to destroy us, but they served the purpose of showing us that we needed a Savior. And even through the going through of the things that we've gone through in this world, if whatever I just said makes sense, but the things that we've gone through in this world has served, before we knew Christ, it has served to lead us and to show us that if we continued relying on ourselves, relying on our own minds, relying on our own thinking and our own decision making, that we were definitely going down. But the Lord who was rich in mercy, He kept us, and then He gently drew us to Himself. And it says, yeah. It is the gift of the God. It is the gift of God. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. So there's nothing we can boast about. There's nothing we can boast about. It's the Lord Jesus. It doesn't matter what good work that we do. It's because the Lord is working it out in us. It is His Spirit working it out in us. Without Him, we would not be capable of doing the ministry of the Lord.
That's right.
Because our natural inclination is to be selfish. And the fact that, you know, even though we still have this flesh that is with us, because our flesh isn't saved, that He still clothed us in His righteousness. So even though we falter, because we still have the flesh with us, His blood is continuously washing us and cleansing us. See, his sacrifice on the altar, which was on that cross, was unlike what they did in the temple of old days, where they were continually sacrificing animals, continually pouring blood on that mercy seat for the forgiveness of sins. And now we've got this one sacrifice that has dealt with it once and for all. Amen?
Amen.
The power of the blood is always cleansing us, and it has to, because in order for us to even be in the presence, it wouldn't be possible for us to be in the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
But it's that keeping power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says in 10, let me see, 9, okay, I did 9, not a works lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So he created us unto good works in Christ Jesus. He created us. We didn't create ourselves. And he created us unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
That's good, that's just a fact.
God is, I mean, God is good.
Yes, he is.
God, and we just have to remember that. We have to remember sometimes, you know, because we tend to, we can be so critical of ourselves, and it's not about us anymore. It's about what the Lord has done for us. It's all about him. So we always have to keep our eyes on that finished work of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and because in keeping our eyes, our spiritual eyes, because that, you know, because, you know, your natural eyes are, you know, I mean, they're limited. Let's face it. You know, sometimes you see things you think you saw and you didn't see it. You know, that kind of thing. You can walk up on, you know, I mean, your eyes, your natural eyes can deceive you. Okay. Because they're very limited. And so you can see something and think you've perceived something because you naturally saw it. And it may not necessarily be so, which is why magic can work.
Right, right.
Because, you know, the hands can be faster than the eyes, and your eyes can miss it, you
right.
know. And you, your eyes are subject to illusions. The wool can be pulled over your natural eyes, but our spiritual eyes are the eyes that we are. Are when we're in the Word of God, that's what we want, the eyes of our understanding enlightened. And the Word of God helps us in seeing things through our spiritual eyes. And when we praise and when we worship God, you know, it is so, so important, praising and worshiping God.
Yes.
When you think about the fact, he says he inhabits the praises of his people. Now, if everything is in God, right? Everything
right.
is contained within God. And so when you're praising him, everything shows up. It, because God shows up.
Right.
Let me tell you something. I remember when I was on the West Coast, we had gone to a Ron Canole worship service.
Right.
It was so powerful. We're in there worshiping and praising God. We just got lost in praise and worship. Let me tell you, while we were in there at that praise and worship service, God was answering prayers. There were
right.
so many testimonies. People who had been prayed for salvation, got saved, people were healed, that people had been praying for, and all we were doing was in a sanctuary at a church, singing and losing ourselves completely and worshiping,
right.
praising God, and God was answering prayers.
Yeah.
We just had let go of all of the cares of the world, and
right.
we were just lost in his presence. And
just
he
lost
answered.
In yeah.
Just lost in it. Lost in it.
Yeah.
You know? And you can't be lost in it if you're still occupied with yourself or you're occupied
right.
with you know, the cares of the world. So you have to really enter into that praise. You have to release all of that stuff, and you have to practice.
Right. And the other part that goes with that is, because one thing I talked to my mother for a long time this morning, is worry, you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord.
All of that. Worry, man. You know, we don't, worry is a weapon that the enemy uses against us.
Yeah.
I mean, constantly, about stuff that we don't even have control of, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We have no control of it. I mean, we worry. And he said not to worry, but we still worry, you know. You know, and he wants us to do that is just give it all to him, man, and rest on his shoulder. That's it, you know.
But you got to become childlike to do that, though.
You got to get childlike. You have to become childlike.
You have to get childlike, because as long as you act like this adult that I'm responsible for this, and if I don't do it won't get done, and that's a this. And
right.
You know what I'm saying? That mentality. And,
I got this mentality.
Yeah, I got this. Yeah, I can handle it. I got this. I got this.
Yeah.
You know, and some of us believe that, okay, I'm looking to God to do these big things over here, these things that are really impossible for me to do. But the things that I can do, I got this. But
right.
God wants you to know you don't have nothing.
Nothing. He wants to do it all. If we just say, okay, God, I'm giving it to y'all. You know, he wants to do all of it. He's the only one that can do. I mean, we talked about this earlier. He's the only one that can do all of it. You know, we can't. You know, we can't do any of it. And even the small things that we think we can do or we do well, we still can't do that really without his say-so or without him saying, you know, I mean, we just can't. You know, he has to be involved with that. You know?
He does. And so when we completely let go, in this book by Smith Wigglesworth, you know, he says that until we become nothing, God cannot become all.
Right.
See, and that goes against what we were trained in the world, because we've all been trained in the world to accomplish and to be something, to be respected, to be perceived as a person who gets things done. To, you know what I mean? All those things that came along with our identity, and we perceive becoming nothing as negative, because in the world, people don't pay attention to you if you're nobody.
Right.
But see, in the kingdom, it's the opposite.
It's the opposite.
It's the opposite. And so when we become nothing, he becomes all. He becomes absolutely everything, and he permeates our lives. And you know, and that's the labor. The labor is entering into his rest. Because that's a place of rest. Where you're just trusting that he has everything. He's got it all. That he's going to lead and guide you by his spirit. He's got it all worked out. And not to judge things by appearances. Not to judge by appearances. So praise God. You know, here we are. I think we have a minute and about, it's ticking down, a minute and 9:08:76 is going down. But it's been a blessing. Is there anything else that you want to say? We could extend it a little bit if there's something else that you wanted to share.
No, I'm good. I'm just,
you're
I'm
good.
I'm glad to be a part of the show and just to be listening and soaking in, because you definitely have, you know, talking to me about some things that I'm facing. And
amen.
And sometimes we just need to be, you know, encourage each other. You know, we sharpen each other's line, you know.
We need.
I don't think we do it enough, you know.
Exactly. And we have to be reminded of the things we even already know.
And things we already know, yeah.
Don't ever think you have arrived anywhere.
Right.
You know, we all need to be encouraged. We all have our moments of weakness. We all have our moments of being caught up in something that is so deep that it seems as though it's going to swallow us. But that's why God designed the body of Christ. That's what we do for one another. I just want to say I'm just blessed. You've been listening to Friday Night Joy with Reverend Ray and Sister Pat, and we've just been expounding on the Word of God and how good He is and how much He loves us. And we're just grateful. We're grateful for this opportunity to just encourage one another because, you know, Reverend Ray, as I'm talking to you, I'm being encouraged too.
Because
I'm in the midst of, you know, I've in my lifetime I've had some trials and some tribulations, you know, but you know, as we walk with the Lord, sometimes you think that the trials might get smaller, but sometimes they get greater because what is birthed out of that is a greater revelation of who the Lord is.
And
who you are in Him is what's born out of. So I'm in a place in my life now that I've never ever been, and I'm being called to an absolute dependence on God in areas where, you know, when you just said, you know, oh, I got this. Well, there were areas in my life where, you know, I got this. Well, I don't got it, okay? I don't got it right now. And I am learning to, and I just, you know, and every time I think, like, Lord, what is going to happen? You know, I get a whispering, a soft whispering of the Holy Spirit on the inside of me.
Right.
Just assuring me that I am in the hands of the Beloved.
Right.
Do not judge things by appearance.
Right.
Only believe. Right. Know that my love is perfect for you. Because in your knowing how perfect my love is, you begin to let go of your fears and your doubts.
Right.
And I thank God for the work of the Holy Spirit.
Right, and just to trust God, you know, no matter what.
Just trust
Him. Hey, God, I trust you. I can't, you know, and I tell Carol all the time, I say, look, when it really comes down to all we got is our faith in God, you know.
That's it.
You know, everything else will let you down. People, family, the mind. But Jesus Christ would never, ever fail there. So, you know, you have to come back to that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and that's a teaching piece for us. And I think that's the piece that he begins, you know, the Bible talks about the pruning that takes place in our life, the cutting away dead things and all that kind of stuff. And we got to understand the process. And I think I shared with somebody this week, the process is not always easy, you know.
You know,
it's like, for me personally, I ain't never been process to be easy.
I there was a time that I thought, like, you know, am I some sort of special case? Why are these things so traumatic? And why are they, even when I think about, you know, my life growing up without my parents and been living between households. You know, and I mean, can you, you know, not having that stability as a child growing up because I'm raised between two different households. And I mean, it's just, and I just thought, well, you know, do I get a break? But as I get through each one of my trials and I break through, I see the great work of the Lord in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I can see that even though I was born into the circumstances that I was born to, that God is taking that and he's using it
nice.
For good in my life.
You get to catch a glimpse.
Mm-hmm, I catch a glimpse. Every now and then you get a glimpse into what's really going on on that stage, God's stage, which is
right.
is greater than the stage of this world, you know, the
right.
theater that's being played out in the natural. His stage is far greater because it includes an eternal plan.
Right.
You know, it's an eternal plan. And so we get bits and pieces of it. But one thing I am sure of, Ray, is that God loves us.
Yeah. Yeah.
God loves us, and sometimes I am amazed at how much he loves us.
Right. Yeah.
And he's patient with us. It's not like we're such great people, you know what I mean? It's not like we're always trusting him and we're always saying, "Oh God, I know you got it." And la 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 and skipping off into the sunset because we know God's got it, you know? No,
right,
we go
right.
through our flounderings and we have our moments when we're questioning him and
right,
you know,
right.
are you there and or
right.
you know, or we just forget
they
about
and
him.
Snodding.
Exactly. Or we just forget crying about him completely.
And then he gets hit side of the head. Why? You belong to me.
Exactly. Exactly.
Girl, you belong to me.
And there is nothing that we can do that can separate us from the love of God.
Right, right.
That's wonderful.
Hey, all right, Sister Pat, I'm going to have to go.
You know, we went over. I used that little element to go over. So it's a little bit longer than necessary. So praise
right.
God, and I will speak to you again prayerfully on Sunday.
Prayerfully on Sunday.
Praise God. I am ending Friday Night Joys episode. I just praise God for Reverend Ray and just the dialogue that we had back and forth. And as the scripture says, iron sharpeneth iron. I praise God that I know that something was spoken for someone to encourage them not to be weary in well-doing, to know that God has not left them, that God is mindful of them in a particular message that I was sharing about coming out of John 15, where it says that, where Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser, or the husbandman." And I Googled just what a vine dresser does. Now, he's the person that takes care of the vineyard, right? And what I found out is that this the work of the vine dresser or the husbandman for the vineyard, he is not just like a regular farmer. This is a person who is given to spending decades with the grapevine. He comes to know each one of them in a very personal way. He's like a shepherd with his sheep. It's the same kind of caring for and knowing. He knows what vine is doing well from year to year. He knows which ones are more productive or vigorous than the other ones. You know, who are much stronger and stouter. You know, it's just like in the body of Christ, Some of us are stronger than others, and those which are strong should be called alongside to help the weaker ones, or even just someone who's having a weak moment. If you happen to be strong and rooted and grounded at that particular time, and you see a particular saint that's going through, that you can come alongside and gird up that person that's going through in the body. It also says that the vine dresser, he knows what they respond to. So God knows what we respond to. And it says that the vine dresser takes special care for certain one's needs. So he understands that we're all individuals and that there's special care that might be needed that maybe another person may not need that kind of intensive care. But God is very specific. Nothing that he has created or designed is exactly the same. It says that not even a snowflake is the same. So how much more us as his children, how unique we are. He knows our, it says the vine dresser knows the personality of the vine. It says the vine dresser cares for each vine and nurtures it and prunes it with the appropriate amount of pruning and at the appropriate times. So God knows when the right amount of pruning, the cutting away, and he also knows that specific time that cutting away needs to happen. The vine dresser fertilizes, and he lifts up the branches from the ground, and he props them up, and he ties them to a trellis for support. He takes tender measures in protecting them from insects and from disease. And this is who our Heavenly Father is. And I praise the Lord, and I just give thanks. Hallelujah, that on this joy night that I can say, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for sending our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ into the earth. The joy of our salvation is reigning in our hearts and our minds this evening. We are so grateful that you love us so much. So this ends another episode again of Friday Night Joy on the When Christians Speak broadcast. And don't forget to join me Thursdays at noon for Declaring the Finished Work Prayer Hour, and joining Reverend Ray on Friday night for Friday Night Joy, and on Sundays for Sunday night, Sunday at 5 for Bread of Life. Also, you can download our podcast from, of course, the Blog Talk Radio website, from iTunes, from Blueberry.com, and from Zoom. Our email address is whenchristianspeak@gmail.com. So please, if you have a prayer request or if you want to share a testimony or make a comment, feel free to email us. The number to call us is 888-488-6772, so you can listen to us by phone. That's the wonder of internet and the wonder of technology. So praise the Lord and be blessed this evening. Hallelujah, knowing that the joy of the Lord is your strength. I want to end with reading a scripture. All right. Where is it? Okay. Hallelujah. Psalms 27:6 says, And now shall mine eyes be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hallelujah.